One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Achoo. Achoo. I knew you were going to reference that, you bellhead. I've sneezed 40 times since we wanted to start recording. I've had a sneezing fit. And just so everyone's aware, they used to say, I did about 12 sneezes and I have not had an orgasm, which apparently used to be 8, wasn't it, the rule in a row?
I'm not sure, mate. I don't have any
orgasms anymore.
Allergies.
Hello, everyone.
I have plenty, if you're asking.
I'm coughing and sneezing. Hang on. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Flash & Shanks podcast.
I've started your advice, mate, with a 6-minute kiss. 6-second kiss.
So, my mate texted me and said,
up to my nuts.
Oh, do you know who texted me, actually? Andy Nick. Did I tell you this last week?
No.
Andy Nickel texted me and said, mate, listening to your pod, my wife and I think you've lost the plot with the 6-second kiss. And I was like, mate, we've given up. We've given up big time.
Andrew Carter was the same. 6-second kiss. I ain't got time for it.
Yeah, but
he also said,
stop. With Carter would be so awkward.
He said also, stop using a book to live your relationship, mate. Just do it naturally. It's too contrived.
No, I need experts to tell me how to operate. Mate, I've already cocked up one marriage. I can't risk it again.
Oh, your fault, was it?
No, it's all her, mate. It's all her, the witch.
Here you are, truth's coming out. Hey, I tell you,
definitely wasn't all either of us.
I tell you why you're sneezing.
Let's talk about my divorce for a while.
I'll tell you why you're sneezing, mate. It's because you got a little moustache. When I say little, it's a bloody slug. And I reckon it's got a load of dust in it because it's a big, thick one now. Like David Boone.
Yep.
And it's just, who was the guy who, what's his name? He was fixing up a big chateau.
Oh, yeah. Not a place in the sun. Yeah. The big fella with his wife fixing up the chateau.
Yep.
Something green, wasn't it?
Well, you look like him. So any of the listeners wondering what David Flatman looks like, him without the hair.
The thing is, right, this moustache is a bit like, the name will come to you, I know it will. The big moustache is a bit like
Dick's
Drawbridge. Where is your Dick's Drawbridge? what an unfortunate name. Or fortunate. I'd love a name that cool. This moustache is a bit like my shiny puffer jacket. I actually wear it because I like it. But the problem is, everywhere you go, it's treated as a novelty. So it's like, oh, he's got a moustache. Not my member. Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, what you got a moustache for? I just like it. But it's like
suit, like a leopard print leotard and join the circus. Like, you'd be the strong man.
I was wearing clip-on earrings yesterday with my daughters, and honestly, it was like, I don't want to talk myself up. I've never been someone that people approach and say, God, you're so attractive, take me home. But I thought if I was in certain bars around where I live, I would have...
Car parks.
If you pardon the expression, I'd have gone down a storm. I'd have gone down a tree.
Yeah.
I looked great for that market yesterday.
Yeah. But
I just like, I like having a... The bear. No, I actually like it, and my wife likes it. And I shaved it in the other week, and Drico actually did a double take. We're up at Say on Drico, turned around and went, do you know what? You're one of the only people I know that would, I think, actually suit a moustache. I said, it's funny you say that. My wife said to me yesterday, when you're shaving, just leave the moustache on. I like it. And she never says stuff. If I grow my hair and look like a geography teacher and it looks awful because I'm bald on top, I could do that for 6 weeks. 6 months, she wouldn't care.
So you're shaving your legs in the bath, and your missus says, do you know what? Keep that little tash on. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you shave your legs when you played?
No. I sometimes use a hair clipper on them. Sometimes. For massage reasons. Because you get loads of, like, I've got quite hairy legs. And you get quite a lot of spots from where they're massaging, like with pulling the hairs. So, I mean, that was the second reason. The main reason was it just felt good and they look bigger.
Thank you. So, I remember Neil Back and Austin Healey both having shaved legs. And I was like, how can we do that, lads? And Backy was just like, yeah, massage stops you getting massage rash and rub rash, whatever it's called. And Austin was like, no, it's not. It's vanity. We look better on TV. I was like, yeah, finally, some honesty. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's the boys who shaved their forearms. Their arms, I'm a bit like...
Mate.
Sort of, that's my cut-off point.
Mate. Don't get it. Like, no, I do get it. It's called insecurities, isn't it? That's what it is. And we've all got them. But I think if you're in the position like you and I are in, where, you know, if we could click off fingers and magic wand it, there's things about, you know, I'd be the same weight, but I'd be 9% body fat for the rest of my life, please. But there's things you'd change. But if you don't actually really, if you don't worry about it, you're one of the lucky ones, because a lot of people do worry about the way they look. And we're lucky. We don't look amazing, but we're not that arsed.
Well, look at us. Look at us. I mean,
I'm wearing a t-shirt from 2003 that I've been told today has got to go in the bin by Freya because it's got so many holes in it.
What can you do? What could I do? I can't do anything, mate. I am what I am. Like, go to Turkey, get the hair done, but then...
No, you look ridiculous. No.
Yeah. So I could do it. I could lose a stone, but I find it so hard.
Can I shock you?
You've lost a bit of weight.
I've lost a stone, yeah.
At the shits of you?
Yep. I'm not on a crusade, but I'm making a bit of an effort and gone down to 121 kilos. And bear in mind, not that long ago, I was at 135, but I got down to sub 130.
Drove to Dundee, didn't you? Eating Toblerone. Drove to Dundee in Toblerone, barefoot.
So I've got down to 121, and I'll see how I go. But I'm not on a crusade like Phil Vickery. Like I probably said on the pod last week, I don't know. I saw Phil Vickery for dinner the other night, and oh my God, he looks like John Cena, mate. He is massive, stacked, and shredded. He's not, mate. He wouldn't be a million miles off Max Lahiff, who has got the best physique in English rugby, full stop. There is no one to compete with him.
How boring must your diet be if you want to be like in that shape? You can't eat anything nice. You've got to have...
No, but that's you and me. If you're a genetic freak like Lahiff, who basically can't get fat, he's like a really good cook, like a chef, mate. He makes amazing food, but he just like...
Mate, he's definitely got to... Yeah, but he's definitely got to eat healthy. You can't look like that.
Oh, yeah.
So... Like, he's not going into... I just saw an offer on the way to the gym for a double cheeseburger in McDonald's meal.
Saw that too, yeah.
Yeah,
bus stop. I saw it on the side of a bus stop.
Yeah.
Nearly did a week.
I went past it and thought, I must pop in and try that soon.
Mm. You've got me. I'm hooked. Yeah. No, he won't do that, but he does have a few beers. Like, he's very, more normal than you think, but he's just genetically gifted. And what happens is, so I was at the gym yesterday, and Lahif won't listen to this, but I was just saying, talking to this lady, and she's like, "Are you a rugby player?" I said, "Oh God, not anymore. No, no, no." And tapped my stomach, and I said, "This 10 years ago, mind you, when I was playing, it still looked like this."
Not anymore. Yeah, but not anymore. Basically saying, "Yeah, I did a bit, babe. Ask me some more questions."
He used to bench 210. So yeah, I saw someone in a gym in Fitness First with a t-shirt that said, "I used to be strong." He was like a bit older. "I used to be strong." I was like, "I need that t-shirt." "I used to lift this." "What do you lift?" "Well, I used to lift this." I didn't ask what you used to lift, mate. And we're talking about it, and I was like, I said, "Let me show you a picture," because I screenshotted Lahif last week because I love his body anyway. And I said this guy plays the same position as me. I stopped 10 years ago. This is what they look like now. She's like, "Oh my God." She's like, "He must be on steroids." I said, "No, he's not. Like, there's pictures of him when he's 12 and he's got like big muscles and bulging abs. Like, it's good genetics plus mega work ethic and all that."
Yeah,
and
Cyril Bye doesn't look like that, does he?
No, but you don't need that. I'm just saying, if you want to look looking good in your budgie smugglers, Lahif's where it's at. But then I'm watching Cyril Bye. We'll talk about the game in a minute. But watching Cyril Bye at the weekend, he carries a bit of timber. He hasn't got a visible muscle on his body. And he was elite at the weekend. Like, I thought he was absolutely super at the weekend. And he carries a bit of Tim's. And I'm not talking about rugby. I'm just talking about physiques and aesthetics. But... you know, there's no one to touch Lahif at the moment. Wowzers.
I could look
out
like
180
someone
on the bench as well for a triple the other day. It's like, this is, I love watching it. It's great.
I'd have the body of like Charles Olivon.
Yeah, great shout.
Yeah. I think I've said this before. Like, or Gael Fiku. Just big, lean.
Did I tell you that I went into the past the Toulon changing room and saw Charles Olivon getting out of the shower? This is not going to get inappropriate.
Recently?
Last season. Last season, yeah. I was walking through the tunnel and he's sort of getting out of the shower with his towel and he like...
We'll just leave it there. We'll leave it there.
No, do you know what? I was like, do you know what? 6'6", handsome, cool beard, mega rig, apparently a really nice guy, elite players like that guy. He's like Henry Slade times 5 now.
Yeah, I just want to see him without a beard though, because often I think there's a reason why people wear... decide to grow beards,
yeah,
and they keep the beards for a long time because it's either a bit of a mask or they're just hiding a weak chin,
like Barkley,
yeah, or
like John Barkley.
They're hiding a weird top lip, or
yeah,
exactly, like John Barkley. You've seen John Barkley without a beard, you never will, mate. You never will, because it doesn't suit him.
Well, he can't risk it now, can he?
Yeah. No.
I actually got a text from my ex-wife last week, and she said, we're in Dalesford Farm Shop. She's there with her husband on a little anniversary break. Very nice. And she said, "I'm in Dalesford Farm Shop, and your man crush, Henry Slade, is here. Oh, my God. He is ridiculously attractive." I was like, yeah, he actually is. She's like, it's a joke. It's a joke how attractive he is. So I hope he got out of there alive, mate.
Threesome, question mark.
Hey.
Hey. Menage a trois, question mark.
I hope he made it out alive. He was at risk in there. But, yeah, he's outrageous. But Charles Olivon.
Yeah.
These guys aren't our type, Tommy. If they were, it would be fine. But they're not. But we can appreciate the male form. But I maintain this. We're talking about looking at someone. What we all know is, it's what it's like when you meet them. It's charisma. It's how they make you feel. It's sense of humor. And that is where we also fall down. That's where we're also screwed.
Played golf with Nicky Robinson yesterday, talking about physiques.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Obviously, I think... I think he just does sit-down weights. I don't think there's... I don't think anything else. Like, very good arms. He had very good triceps. And he knew that, and that's why he wore such a tight top. But when he was sat down, oof.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
That's the problem with a tight tish.
Caught him eating a Snickers, caught him eating a cheeseburger. Oh, you went for it.
He's embraced retirement but still does arms.
Yeah.
But he's not fooling us, is he? We know.
And he wore tracksuit bottoms to play golf. So there's like a, I don't know if you've seen him, like most people just wear golf trousers, chinos, but he's got these ones which are like got elastic at the bottom of.
You've shown us on Instagram before.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got about 20 photos of him in that. They didn't, you can't even have a belt on because they've just got elastic round the waist and they've got little string ties then to tie it up.
Yeah.
So I just hammered him the whole time. So where are you off, mate? You on the red eye? Got your travel gear on? Where are you flying to tonight, Nick?
City Jet, is it?
Yeah. Hey, Cardiff Rugby. You've just you can see a little badge on your tracksuit bottoms there, mate. We all know you played a bit.
Well done, mate. Yeah, I played with Robbo in a exhibition match with Mike Tindall when Robbo retired 3 weeks before. So it's a charity match. And yeah, he retired 3 weeks before. And this bloke from the Gloucester Combinations Club who we played against, amateurs, and we were all ex-pros. So they were like steaming into it. We were all pissed. Chris Forty, the hooker, was drinking cider out of a Lucozade bottle and choking up phlegm just before kickoff. It was hilarious. And, you know, we had everyone on our team, I think, was a ex-pro, ex-international, except my mate Tom Bradshaw, who filled in on the wing, who's a journo, but a good player. And these lads went steaming into Robbo. Robbo got late. He got hit high and late about 3 or 5 minutes in. And I'm not like a psycho, but I was like, you've actually been a bell end there, mate. So I made it my mission to try and do this bloke over for 40 minutes. And it worked about three times. And but Robbo is an amazing nick. So I've seen him in his best nick. The abs, the pecs, everything looked great. He looked proper, like on the beach. It's like he's not overdoing it, but he would look perfect on a beach. Now, much happier to stand with him in the sun.
Yeah, another one who constantly has a beard. That's what I'm saying. I don't trust people. I just don't trust people that constantly have beards. I don't know why. I just something doesn't sit right with me. Mm. Why?
Well, you hired him, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the disguise for?
But anyway, yeah. So destroyed him at golf yesterday.
Oh, did you? What?
Yeah. Yeah,
mate. So, can you hear any babies crying in the background here?
No. Got rid of them, have you?
I've got so many sold kids, mate. When they cry, I don't even know which one it is. Hang on a sec. I'll just make sure everything's okay.
Right, are there any dangerous shutting that baby up in a fucking podcast?
Just trying to be nice, mate. Just trying to be nice.
Showing off. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm only joking. Sorry.
Speaking of,
she knows. She knows I'm joking.
Babies, kids. Have you seen Clarkson's Farm?
No.
Third series.
Oh, yeah, next week. Can't wait.
I was gutted. Finished it last night. There's only four episodes.
No.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know if they're being released later or not. There's only four. There was only four, and it was every season. I think right. This cannot be as good as the last season because everyone knows what's happening. They'll start faking it. They'll start contriving. I don't know. Like the original one was brilliant because it was all new, and I thought it can't get as good, but it is. It's just as good.
It's just, I probably say this all the time. It's just the best television program I think there is.
It's so good. Like they got pigs now.
Oh god, that's my dream. I've been talking about pigs for the last week constantly.
It's a bit sad. Some episodes, but
well, piglets die, don't they? That's the problem, and it's horrible. But a lot of them don't make it. But we live in town, as you know. You've been to my place, and it's like we live in the right place for us and our life. We live in the right place, but I just want to live 10 minutes away with some pigs.
But you also want to be able to get Deliveroo. You want to get home delivery from Tesco's.
I'm going to walk to the gym after this pod. I will walk there, walk back.
How far?
Mate, it's probably 7 or 8 minutes. Like, it's that quick. I'm in the middle of town. It's so easy.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like an hour away.
No, 10-minute walk.
Okay.
Like, it's that quick. Yeah.
You're a hero.
I'm a bit of a guy, but I'm a bit of a
boy. I've been already.
What am I? Hey, I got a new gadget.
What?
Flamethrower.
What's that?
It's a flamethrower, mate. So, a flame, it's like a gas canister. It's like a metal lever thing, and you screw a gas canister into the bottom, and it turns into a, it's like a 3 foot long mini flamethrower for scorching weeds.
I got one for creme brulee. I made it once.
Oh, you got a kitchen one?
Yeah.
But yours is handheld, mate. Mine's handheld, but mine's about 3 feet long, mate. I win.
You've got to wear a backpack, like Ghostbusters.
It's not a jetpack. It doesn't make you fly. No, it is. I saw someone doing it up the road, and I said, "What are you doing there, mate, with your weeds?" And he goes, "Well," he goes, "basically, I saw the council doing it. The council use flamethrowers to scorch weeds because it kills them at the base, kills the roots, and they don't come back as quick." And he said, "If you pull them out with your hands, you're covering your hands in dog piss." And I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, of course you are, because it's on the footpath. Dogs wee on them." So anyway, I got me scorcher.
You used it.
I used it yesterday. So what I've done is I've also got a little weed scraper tool. So I used it and killed a lot of weeds. And today I'm going out for scrapage to see if they come up easy.
I've got a load of chemicals for a load of back of my fence. I keep barbecues. I don't know, bikes the lot, but it grows heavily with sting nettles. So I got some. I ordered it off Amazon. A chemical spray, make them wilt.
Is that how you've got the backpack for?
Yeah.
Yep. Love it.
Yeah, with a little gun. Pump it up. Get the pressure. It's like a little war pistol.
I had a lovely chat with Benjamin Kayser at the weekend about our best mates who are our robot mowers. We both got the same robot mower. Because we were commentating. And as we were commentating, his phone flashed. And this is obviously during the Toulouse match. We're obviously we're concentrating hard. And it said, out of bounds. Your mower's out of bounds. And I was like, oh, no. So we're basically doing all that. And I said, actually, my robot mower's gone for a service this week. So I went to pick up my robot mower yesterday. And I thought it won't be much because it's just, you know, it's fine. It's just been off for a long time. Didn't quite work. Anyway. The reality, if you want the reality, it's £245 bill for this new circuit board. Got back, didn't work. On FaceTime to my mate Chris, who fixes these things, and he's like, "Right, this is bizarre." Literally checked it this morning; everything was perfect. Runs me through all this stuff. Yep, it works perfect. 10 minutes later, stops working. Hasn't worked since. You're like, I'm super smug about my robot mower, but it is a ball ache quite a lot of the time. When it's just running, it's great. But the truth is, the actual true review is that, Christ, I wish it would just work and shut up. But it won't.
Get a Flymo.
So, hey?
Get a Flymo.
Yeah, but when they do it, you realise you've had 3 or 4 months and you haven't even thought about your lawn, and your lawn's great.
That was your nickname anyway, wasn't it? So
Flymo.
Yeah. Mow anyone's lawn, wouldn't you?
Cut anyone else's grass. Yeah, exactly. I used my I finished a book on my Kindle, which was actually wasn't very good, and I used my book torch for the first time last night.
Oh, that gadget. Oh yeah.
Used
high
it.
Tech. Yeah.
It's really good.
Only 10 in the world.
I went out for dinner with mates, and I wasn't pissed, but I was a bit tipsy and got into bed about 11:45. And I was like, I need to just sleep now. But I'm just desperate to use it so I could tell you that I'd used it. now I've told you, I realise you don't care.
My wife's got one, but I need to find a book. I need to find a good book. I haven't read for a while because I've been watching loads of TV. I'll watch like half hour before I go to bed. But I need something. So I want a true story. Right. So if anyone's got any ideas, tweet me, leave a review. But I'm not too keen on fiction.
Is that because you've got no imagination and you're too literal?
No, it's because I don't read too often. But when I do, I want to learn something that's happened. Or
just read the dictionary.
Mental sweat. Yeah.
I like
so you're normally quite good with books. Although I have read a few like non-fiction ones, like I Am Pilgrim, which is quite good.
Read Stolen Focus, mate. Johan Hari.
Yeah?
Yeah, really good.
All right, fine. There we are. Got one.
Stolen focus. It is very interesting, right. Especially for parents, but it's not about that. But it's, yeah, that's, I think he's brilliant. And
all relationship once, really whatever.
Oh. Yeah, the good divorce.
the long kiss.
The long kiss goodbye.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Sharks are in the final, 32-31, beat Claremont and Gloucester against Benetton. That means automatic qualification, no matter where you are in the league, for the Champions Cup next year, I believe, because
yep,
I don't think anything else has changed. Which one of those two were you at? Were you at Gloucester?
I was at Gloucester. Yeah, it is an interesting one. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Because if Gloucester win, they knock out whoever's in eighth place in the Prem from the Challenge Cup. So it is, you know.
Yep.
It's interesting. It's good. Yeah, I was at Gloucester. And then, well, then after that, which we'll talk about, but I went down to Westbury Rugby Club, which is about half an hour south of Bath here, for their annual awards dinner. And, oh, mate, what a set of lads. Proper old school rugby dinner.
Chopping pints.
Right, you, Ginge, on your chair. Kegs off. Right, talk to us. What are you doing? And he's like, well, all I've done. No, he's West Country. All I'm saying is, I was seeing how many peas I get in my foreskin. They're like, fair play to you. Right, how many did you get in? And he's like, 20. 20 peas in your foreskin. Unbelievable. He's like, are you putting peas in your own foreskin? He goes, no. Because you got, I held it open, and then like Gary's been putting them in. We've got 20 in there. And I was like, right, there's almost like, right, where are the peas? We're on the floor now. Don't make a mess. Pick them up, eat them. All right, mate. He's on his chair with his kit off. I was like, this is so old school. And then half an hour later, he got carried out covered in stuck under a van. So it was like, it was such a.
Going to places like that. It reminds me of like my youth.
Honestly, mate, I was like, I haven't been in that environment for so long, and it was great. And like, it was men only, and we were like waited on, served by women. And then next week, or in a couple of weeks, there's a ladies' night, and they're waited and served on by men. So the lads are like, oh, some of them are old boys, like, but the lads is carnage. They're all loving it, having a great time. And the ladies walk around with, you know, drinks or food or whatever, and they're like, yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed, Maureen. Thank you very much, Maureen. Thank you. It's all like super respectful. And as soon as they walk away, why was he born so beautiful? It's just like, a mate Jarve got me down there, and I said yes before I realised my schedule. But yeah, so King's Home to Westbury, and then early out to Toulouse on Sunday. But anyway, it was great. But the Gloucester game, to be honest, it was Gloucester Benetton was, it wasn't disappointing, it was good, but I like these games because of the knockout, the tension and the knockout and all that sort of, what, how much the stakes, basically, what there is to lose, the jeopardy. But actually, even though there were quite a few points scored, neither side attacked very well, really. That's the truth of it. And I think to beat the Sharks, you would imagine, not the Sharks have had a great time, but you'd imagine Gloucester's attack will have to step up a notch because it wasn't quite there at the weekend. It didn't really come off very often, didn't look repeatedly threatening. And I desperately, not because I don't like Zach Mercer, I really like Zach Mercer. I really didn't want to give Zach Mercer player of the match just because he gets it all the time. And,
yeah,
you know, and he got a sin bin for a trip. And I was like, you can't give him that. And in the end, you're like, I'm sorry, he is the best player on that field. He is the best rugby player on the field. Hasn't even had his best game, but he's done, of the five brilliant things that have happened, he's done four of them. So
yeah,
he got it again. Yeah.
What can you do? The Sharks.
I wanted to be original, but I couldn't. Yeah.
The Sharks, mate, have had such a terrible season by their standards, considering the players they got, right?
Yeah.
A nightmare start, but they found form in Europe. Fair play to them, because at one stage, I didn't think they were going to get out of the hole they were in. They're not doing well in the URC, but they're in a final, which is incredible for them. So what a turnaround. It's been massive for them. But amazing. You know, I mean, but the players they've got, they should never be in that position anyway. You know, they've got Oxenshape, Benambi, Koch, Etzebeth, Boutalazi, Mpimpi, Lucanuam, Werner Koch, Fassi is amazing at 15.
Yeah.
Like, they've got proper quality team. And at the start of the season, you'd never, like four or five games in, you'd never ever say they're going to be in a European final. And they are. And do you know what? I reckon they've got enough firepower to beat Gloucester.
Yeah, big game.
Yeah, huge game for them. So that's going to be a brilliant, that's going to be a brilliant Challenge Cup final day before the Champions Cup.
And it's Leinster, which is so good.
I know. I covered a Barbar's New Zealand game there.
That's right, yeah.
And it was amazing, honestly.
It's so good.
A few issues getting in and out, but apart from that, because it's in the middle of London, apart from that, when you're actually there, it's beautiful. Like high tech.
Place.
Yep, it is. Leinster, Northampton. A little bit disappointed with Northampton, boy. Way too many errors. I know that's the type of game they play. They play a high-risk game. And if the sort of, I don't know, 50-50's on, chances are they'll take it. And that's how they play. But, I mean, you've got to look after the ball. In certain situations, you have to change game plans sometimes. And you can't just go out all out attack. You're going to have to adapt a little bit. And every time they got the ball, which was a little bit scarce in that first half, they'd end up kicking it away. And I'm just thinking, right, you just lost territory. You've lost possession there. You've got to put teams under pressure by attacking them. You can't just kick it away. And they weren't very good kicks either. And then just losing the ball constantly. So at one stage, I thought Leinster were actually going to really run away with it. But to be fair to them, Northampton came back and it was close right to the end. You know, 20 points to 17. What was Leinster were like 23 up at one stage. And I thought, here we go. They're going to put 40 on them. But I suppose sometimes when you're that high up in points, when you're 17 points up in a semi-final, happens all the time, mate. Naturally, you're just going to be switch off a little bit because you've got like a comfort blanket. You've got a little bit of security. You've got 17 points behind you. So you're not quite, I don't think, switched on constantly as you would be if it was a 2 or 3 point game. You can relax a little bit, and suppose that's what happened. But I don't know whether you were or not, I was a little bit disappointed with Northampton's effort in the first half. They're a better team than that, basically.
Yeah, I was gutted for them, really, because they're such a good team. Such a good team. And who knows what happens if they hang on to the ball in that first half more consistently and whatever, they just didn't quite look. Maybe it was nerves, apprehension, big occasion. Maybe it's just one of those things. But I listened to Sam Vestey's interview during whatever it was during the first half or whenever they interviewed him when he was, and he was just so chilled. He goes, yeah, it's, you know, it's not ideal, but these lads will deal with it. They'll get back in the game. I'm thinking it could be 50 here. He was right. And he goes, this group of lads will sort it out. They'll get the skills back. They'll score some points. We're not worried. We're not worried about it. And I was like, what an amazing interview from a coach. And he was right. Went down to the wire in the end.
Yep.
Gutted for them, but it's a hell of a final, eh?
Oh, man. Like, it's huge. Leinster didn't win anything last year. You know they're like the heavyweights of European rugby. They're still in with the URC. I don't think they'll finish top. Well, they might do. Glasgow have got to go to South Africa, but they're in both competitions, and that's why they've got basically two teams. One to compete URC, one to compete in the Champions Cup. Now, you're at Toulouse, Quins.
Yeah, what another atmosphere. Christ. It's amazing. Only, what is it, 33,000 people? It just felt like 100,000. It was so loud.
10 like, tries.
Yeah, I mean, Quins were far better, and later on, it didn't feel like, even when it got tight, bloody good on Quins for getting back into it, and they absolutely could have nicked it or gone ahead in the second half. But Toulouse, oddly, you look at them and think, well, they've got the capacity to just, you make an error, so Quins will feel like they gifted Toulouse a lot of those points, but you've still got to convert a mistake, and they are so good at converting mistakes. They just flood the ball, they flood channels, hit numbers. They're just absolutely brilliant at it. Their set piece with their scrum was fantastic. You know, so they had a great platform. They got DuPont, who wasn't at his best, but was still better than almost everyone else. So they, and Paul Cost at 13 is not big, but he looks brilliant. Love watching him play.
Is he French?
Really abrasive. Yeah, he's French. Yeah, his dad Arnaud Cost played for France. So he's great. He's abrasive and all that, but as well as being talented and got a nice outside break and nice footwork in the 13 channel, he stepped and went, made a great break and all of that. But you look at it and think, well, Toulouse, they could be amazing, and then they can kind of go away for periods.
Yeah,
but I tell you what, so did Leinster.
Mm.
So did Leinster. Like, they were, you know, like, I was thinking, you're thinking it's going to be 40 or 50, but it wasn't, mate. So
they were 31-12 up again, you know, so they took a massive lead. I think, yeah, you're right. The scrum was good. Mao Vaca was excellent around the
what
field.
Player?
I mean, he could be a 12 easy.
Yeah.
You know, fair play. I know hookers wouldn't push often as hard as your props because they've got other jobs to do. You know, they don't have both feet on the ground. They've got to hook the ball. Maybe on an opposition scrum they would. But to have that engine around the field and to be so dynamic is incredible. What a signing Blair Kinghorn's been.
Yep.
You know, keeping out Thomas Ramos. Tom out Ramos.
Blair Kinghorn.
Oh, mate. I saw the photo of him and who was he FaceTiming? He was FaceTiming
Adam Hastings,
yeah. It looked horrific.
Yeah.
It happens to us all, though, doesn't it?
Yep.
But that is going to be a final of the heavyweights. Toulouse, Leinster, fancy. Both deserve to be there. I mean, you've got matches everywhere, haven't you? You've got Jameson Gibson Park, Antoine DuPont.
That's the one. That's the one, mate.
The centre matchups are brilliant. The back row matchups, the front row could be amazing, couldn't it?
Yep.
Porter, Pag Furlon, and Sheehan against Cyril Bai,
Malvaka,
Aldagiri. Ooh, scrum time, mate.
Mega. The locks will be massively important around the field. It's just everywhere you look.
I can't wait for it. I can't. Like, it's a tough one to call as well because these teams have got all courts game. Like, you wouldn't just say they're an all-out attack team that just want to throw it wide. They can go tight. Mm-hmm. They both got really good kicking games.
But I'll tell you what else. You've got two teams that can just play the most sensational rugby and score tons of points against anyone. Like, both these teams could rack up high scores against international test sides.
Yeah.
But they've also both proven that they are fallible and they can go to sleep and they can not switch off, but they can lose that intensity and they can have down periods. So you go into it thinking, I do have no idea who's going to win that actually at this stage.
I don't think you'll get like the semi-finals where I don't think they'll take like 17 points, 20-point lead. I think it will be close all the way.
Yeah.
And momentum will swing massively because they've just got worldies, individuals, like as well as playing as a team. They've got a bit of magic littered through the team. So, yeah, deserving final, mate. It's going to be wicked. If you had to call it, I'd probably go Leinster.
I've said Leinster the last 2 years.
I'm not sure if Hugan Keenan is fit or not. Playing Frawley at 15. They do miss him.
I always say Leinster because I feel like they're more likely to be process driven and emotionally right. And Toulouse still probably has probably a really old school, prehistoric attitude. But I still wonder if, you know, because they're a French team, they might not necessarily be in the right emotional space. But
and it's in Tottenham.
Probably rubbish now.
And it probably feel more like a home final to Leinster because even though it's in the UK, it's still an English-speaking place.
Yeah.
It's not as foreign as it would be for a French team to come over. So
I'll say it's little things, isn't it? Like the hotel you stay in, everyone's speaking English.
Yeah, conversing.
Walking around the stadium, all the staff, everyone is speaking English to you. And if you, it's a bit, yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, I think that it will make a difference. But it's definitely neutral. We were chatting a lot at the weekend about off air about this home country advantage thing in the Champions Cup semi-finals. And it's one of those things where you say, well, I know Croke Park isn't their home ground, but that's a home game. And I know the Toulouse football stadium is not their home ground, but I sort of think, well, okay, if you stick the Toulouse game in Paris, so it feels properly, well, home country advantage, but it's not in Toulouse. The atmosphere won't be the same. You might not sell as many tickets. You might not fill it. So I sort of think, well, it's easy to say, well, Leinster shouldn't have so many games in Dublin on their way through to a final. That's mainly because they've won it so many times, people say that. But it's like, actually, if you move those games, if you put the semi-final in Tottenham, would it be the same? I don't know. I don't know if it would. And we want atmosphere. We want sold out games. We kind of want that. So there is an argument both ways, I think.
The atmosphere looked amazing at Croke Park. 80,000 there. And they sold out so quick. The only thing missing was Mike McCarthy warming up the crowd with his Viking helmet on. He wasn't there this weekend. I don't know why. He's my favourite. I troll social media to find clips of him getting smashed by the mascot.
Yeah.
The tackle shield or doing somersaults on the field, doing the Viking clap. He's brilliant.
What a guy.
All right, boy.
Charismatic man. Hey, what do I mean?
Well, how long was that? 40 minutes? 45 minutes?
That'll do, mate.
That's about right, isn't it? Christ, hey, well, what have you got on for the rest of the day?
I'm going to Jason Robinson's golf day at the Belfry today.
Hosting?
Tonight. I'm hosting, yeah. I'm not playing golf. And then tomorrow, I've got a thing in London, an event in London. And then on Saturday, I'm commentating on Bristol Saris, actually, at Ashton Gate, which will be ace. Big game.
Yeah.
With a top four in mind. Big game. What are you doing?
Now, I'm actually at Belfry next week. I've got Mike Tyndall's golf day, which is going to be better. I've got a better host. So.
Yeah.
It's me. It's not.
Oh, what
it's
I mean.
Not. He wouldn't trust me to do that. No. I've got Heineken golf day on Thursday. Looking forward to that. And got a bit of rugby this weekend. I got Dragons Stormers on Friday night. Nothing to really play for the Dragons, but Stormers will want to try and climb up the table for playoffs. I've got Scarlet's Ulster on Saturday, athletically, and Scrum 5 on Sunday. So
it's good. Imagine having to go to bloody Cape Town for a Friday night club game and then fly back again.
Yeah, it is a nightmare.
Wider conversation, but I don't think it
works. Well, that's where the final was last year.
Doesn't work, mate.
Yeah, it is tough. Unless they're structured into the season where you go there for 2 weeks and you can plan for it. Having the playoffs with South African teams when you don't know where it's going to be because of rankings is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, doesn't work.
End of. There we are. Good way to finish, all right?
Well
on a negative.
Negative. Well done, guys.
Goodbye.
Cheers, boy.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.